Today being Jayananda approves disappearance day, so read a little bit about Jayananda Prabhu. I know him personally. He was I first met him, I think, around 1971. I used to go to San Francisco. I was in Texas at that time. I was the president of a temple. We used to go to Rathi Asha every year, when Srila Prabhupada used to be there in San Francisco. And Jayananda Prabhu was one of the temple presidents there, and he was quite a nice devotee. He was the first devotee that I knew that exhibited so much humility. Every time I came there, he always insisted that I give the Bhagavad Gita class. So, and then later on, he became I knew him when we were on Radha Damodar, that he was one of the mechanics, and later on he became, for a very brief time, my bus leader, right before the Rathi Yatra in 1975, I believe it was 76 in New York, the first Rathi Yatra they had. And then he insisted that I become the bus leader. But at that time we were in New York and we were distributing books, and he was working on the Rathi Yatra cars. And he told me that he had some pain in his lumps there, in his glands. So although he was so sick right after Rathi Yatra that he couldn't even move, but I told him that one of our vans, specifically my van, that we were trying to put in some speakers into our van before we left on traveling Sankirtan. So Jayananda, he got out of his bed and got into this thing that you wheel books with, and he wheeled himself. At that time, the temple in New York was at 32nd Avenue? No, it was 55th Street, yeah, in Manhattan. So it was, I think, a 10-story building. And he wheeled himself all the way down the stairs, and then the place where our cars were, we were a couple of blocks away. He wheeled himself a couple of blocks away, and then he installed these speakers, and then wheeled himself back up to where he was staying. And then a few days later after that, when he went to the hospital, he found out he had leukemia. That's why he was so sick. So he was quite a selfless devotee. One time I was with him and he was arrested for stealing some jeans, because he would never want to spend any money on himself. So if he had to buy something for himself, then he'd go to the store and steal it. So he didn't want to waste any of Krishna's money. So then he got caught stealing the $10 jeans. And he was taken before the judge, and he explained what he was doing, why he stole them, and the judge dismissed the case. I think only Jayananda could have gotten away with it. And when I was with him, I noticed he preached to everyone, even people I wouldn't even want to get near. He would start preaching to them, telling them about Krishna consciousness. So he was quite an exemplary Vaishnava. So I'll just read a couple of things here. Humility was certainly Jayananda's most prominent quality. He treated everyone as his superior, even new devotees. Maharaj Das remembers that Jayananda was always asking his advice. "Hey Bhakta Mike, what do you think of this?" Although his service was glorious, he never wanted any glory. He avoided praise like the plague. Devotees got to know that if they wanted to be around him, they better not praise Jayananda. Otherwise, he'd simply leave. Once when he was with Dhanavir, someone came to Jayananda and began praising him. Jayananda just ignored it. Later he turned to Dhanavir and said, "You know, if you've been around this movement for a few years, people naturally offer you some respect." Not that his service and qualities were so great. He just was around for a few years, was his humble thinking. If he ever spoke about himself at all, Jayananda would speak so humbly that Lochan Dasri calls It was difficult not to think of yourself as being better than him. If you had any reason to be puffed up, Jayananda would bring it out in you. Feeling himself unworthy, he stepped aside so others could lead kirtan, give classes, or do arti. Instead, he could be found fixing cars, unplugging toilets, washing dishes, or taking out trash. I also like to eat prasadam a lot. I remember one time I came with my bus party, and we stopped where Jayananda was fixing some bus, and we kind of squeezed into the bus. It was very accommodating. And it was like, I think it was 10 o'clock at night, and then someone brought some prasadam. And Jayananda proved so enthusiastic to take the prasadam. He offered it to me. I didn't want to take it. It was too late. But he just very happily ate prasadam. He was definitely empowered to do many things, including to eat prasadam. Once a new boy came to visit the San Francisco temple, he wanted to help, so Keshava Das sent him to the trash area where Jayananda was preparing a weekly trash run. Jayananda told the boy, "I'm the garbage man around here." Actually, he was the vice president at that time. "For years I've been watching garbage men carry out trash, and now Krishna is giving me a chance to do this for him." The boy not only helped load the trash, but accompanied Jayananda to the garbage dump. Later that boy became a devotee, and he recalled thinking, "If the garbage men at this temple can be so blissful, just imagine what the rest of the devotees are like." Karanda recalls another incident of Jayananda's humility. "One day before Rath Yatra, I spent the whole day running around with Jayananda. By the time we get back to the temple, it was midnight. The whole building was so crowded that we couldn't find any space to lie down. Finally, we found room in one little storage closet. I was so tired that all I could do was throw my sleeping bag on the floor and lie down. Then I saw Jayananda walking out of the room. I asked him, 'Where are you going?' And he said he'd be right back, but I kept pressing him. And finally, he explained that he had some rounds of japa chanting to finish up. He didn't want to keep me awake by chanting in our room, nor did he want me to feel bad because he was going out to do something else. He just wanted to slip away to some corner to fulfill his vow. I remember saying, 'Sometimes it's not possible to finish all one's rounds because there's so much work to do.' 'That's okay. I'm not too tired,' Jayananda replied. I was amazed not only by his consideration for me, but by his full submission to Srila Prabhupada." And one time I was in San Francisco, and all the temple presidents who had come to the Rath Yatra had bid different amounts of Lakshmi to do Abhishek to Srila Prabhupada. And then after that, Prabhupada was talking, and Jayananda Prabhu came in. And Jayananda Prabhu sat down and immediately fell asleep. So all the devotees were trying to wake up Jayananda, and Prabhupada stopped them and chastised the devotees who were trying to wake him up. And he said, "He's working 10 times harder than any of you. So just let him sleep." He's definitely a special devotee. And I think anyone else probably would have chastised the devotee who was sleeping. In this case, he's chastising the devotees who are trying to wake up. Although perfectly qualified, Jayananda was reluctant to take the post as temple president of sannyasi. It's not that he wouldn't or couldn't do it. He would do whatever was asked of him. It was a happiness just to be working under someone. In this way, he was the backbone of the Bay Area's ISKCON temple for years. Although frequently changing administrations, he would always faithfully serve the acting temple president. He was very special, yet no one paid any special attention to him. That was just the way he liked things. Jayananda's service attitude. Jayananda was always ready to do whatever was necessary to push on Krishna consciousness. He was expert at everything: cooking, preaching, deity worship, public relations, sankirtan, selling incense, construction, and everything else it takes to run a temple. He was a tireless worker. He would be the first one up in the morning and the last one to sleep at night. It was Jayananda who was always running out to get the flowers, Jayananda, who was washing dishes and making sure the kitchen was clean. Jayananda, who was often missing class while he was out doing some service. And Jayananda, who was always encouraging others to go out and preach and setting an example himself. Whatever assignment he was given, he always got done. Even if he had to suffer personally for it. No matter how hard he was working, he never stopped for a nap during the day. He seemed to be inexhaustible. Jambavan Prabhu remembers that many times the San Francisco devotees would go out to Berkeley and distribute the leftover prasad after a Sunday feast. First, Jayananda would be in the kitchen cleaning, and someone would say, hey, how about this leftover prasad? Jayananda would say, okay, let's first get this kitchen clean. He would organize the cleanup crew and then work twice as hard as anyone. He would then transfer the prasad, load it, and the devotees into the van, drive the van to Berkeley, organize the distribution of prasad, and leave the kirtan while we distribute it. In later years, when he was with Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party, Jayananda would help manage and sustain the traveling bus program and simultaneously do all day Sankirtan in and out, side by side with the brahmacharis, scarcely half his age. In spite of his advanced position and seniority, he never asked for any special treatment. Leading devotees would often describe him as the most advanced devotee in the movement. Jayananda Prabhu ki. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura talks with Maitreya, text number 39. Deva Uchu.
Deva Uchu.
Namama
te
deva
para
aravindam prapana tapa upashama atapatram yat mula keta yataya anjasa
guru
samsara dukam bahi
ukshipanti
deva uchu namamate deva padaravindam prapanata popa shamatta patram Yanmula keta yatayong jasaro Samsara dukham vahir utshipanti The demigods said, Namama, we offer respectful obeisances. Pay your Deva, O Lord, Para Aravindam, Lotus Feet, Prapana, Surrenders, Tapa, Distress, Upashama, Suppresses, Atapatram, Umbrella. Yat mulaketa, shelter of the lotus feet. Yataya, great sages. Anjasa, totally. Uru, grace. Samsara dukam, miseries of material existence. Bahi, out. Ukshipanti, forcibly thrown. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demigod said, O Lord, your lotus feet are like an umbrella for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all the miseries of material existence. All the sages under that shelter throw off all material miseries. We therefore offer respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Purport. There are many sages and saints who engage in trying to conquer rebirth and all other material miseries. But all of them who take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord can completely throw off all such miseries without difficulty. Others who are engaged in transcendental activities in different ways cannot do so. For them it is very difficult. They may artificially think of becoming liberated without accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, but that is not possible. One is sure to fall down again to material existence from such false liberation. Even though one may have undergone severe penances and austerities, this is the opinion of the demigods, who are not only well-versed in Vedic knowledge, but also seers of the past, present, and future. The opinions of the demigods are valuable because the demigods are authorized to hold positions in the affairs of universal management. They are appointed by the Lord as his confidential servants. Deva Uchu Namama Te Deva Padara Vindam Prapana Tapo Pashamata Patram Janmulaketa Yata Yonja Soru Samsara Dukam Bahira Ukshapanti. The demigod said, O Lord, your lotus feet are like an umbrella for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all the miseries of material existence. All the sages that shelter, under that shelter, throw off all the material miseries, who therefore offer respect to the essences unto your lotus feet. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Buday, Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamne, Namaste Sarasupandeve, Gauravani Vijarne, Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sadara. What the demigods are explaining here has been explained many times in the Vedic literature. Many famous verses are based on this understanding that taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet can protect one from all miseries. Here it says like atapatram. So this patram, you've heard that word before, patram, pushpam, palam, toyam. So just like it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, Samashritya ye pada palavam salam Mahatpadam Punya Yushal Morare Bhavambudira Vatsapadam Parampadam Parampadam Yatvipadam Nitesham. Everyone who's taking shelter, Sama Ashritya. Ashritya means to take shelter, and Sama means completely. So one who's completely taking shelter of what? Samashritya, ye, those, pada, palava, palava. Pada means feet, and palava means like a lotus petal. Krishna's feet are like lotus petals. They're always resting on Goloka Vrindavan, which is in the form of a lotus flower. And Krishna's feet are very soft, just like lotus petals also. When Gopakumara had finally met Krishna, and Krishna fell unconscious due to ecstasy of meeting his dear devotee, Gopakumara. Then at that time, Gopakumara became himself confused and was at Krishna's lotus feet, and he put his head on Krishna's lotus feet, and he discovered that indeed, Krishna's lotus feet are soft, just like lotus flowers. So Gopakumara confirms that Krishna's feet are just like lotus petals. And we should find out for ourselves, confirm it. Make sure that what he said is correct. So we should place our heads at the lotus feet of Krishna and see how soft Krishna's lotus feet is, or by surrendering to devotional service, we can find out how sweet devotional service is also. Yad pala pala vam tlavam mahatpadam. Mahatpadam means this material existence, this great existence. Punya Yushal Murari, the great existence of Mahashitya Ye Palava Palava Plavam. Plavam means a boat. So Krishna, we can cross over the existence of the Mahatpadam by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Punya means pious, Yushal means the glorious. Morari, the enemy of the Mora demon. The Mora demon was, of course, in pastimes of Bhaumasura, and Krishna killed the Mora demon very easily. But by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, which are just like a boat, but are just like very soft, then we can very easily cross over the ocean of material existence, and Krishna's glories are unlimited. In other words, just by hearing Krishna's glories, and then by engaging the devotional service of Krishna, then easily we just pass all our material problems. And here it mentions this verse, tapa, our distress. Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically meant to free people from distress. From the very beginning, it is said that its only topic will be about Krishna. And that will free us actually from distress. Tapo mulana. It uproots. Umulana means it uproots the threefold miseries. So hearing Krishna's glories can take away from our heart all these desires for material existence, and therefore very easily we can cross over the material problems that we have. Material understanding usually is like trying to figure out a way to solve our problems, we'll solve our problems. Prahlad Maharaj said, the more we think of ways to solve our problems, then the more problems we'll have. That the actual way of solving our problems is not by some use of our intelligence, it is by taking shelter of Krishna, who will take away our desire to solve our problems. And when the desire to solve our problems of material existence is taken away, then all the problems will be solved. And Bhava Ambudir means the great ocean of Bhava, of feeling. So the material ocean of feeling, Ambuda, Bhava Ambudir, Vatsapada. Although it's a great ocean of emotions, but by coming in contact with Krishna, the ocean turns into the amount of water, Vatsapada, of a hoof print of a calf. Bhavambudhir vatsapadam parampadam. Therefore this parampadam yadipadam natesham. Therefore the destination of a devotee who's actually become absorbed in Krishna consciousness is parampadam, is the transcendental world, and not this material world where padampadam yadipadam natesham, where there's danger at every step. Therefore, the solution is given here, just like everywhere else, that we should simply hear about Krishna and try and act in such a way as that Krishna becomes happy. And Krishna, as we know, becomes happy if we simply develop love for Him and for everyone else, everything else in relation to Him, by trying to please Him and His devotees. And that gives one the higher taste, and all the other problems are solved. On the other hand, it mentions that many people are trying hard to solve problems in the material world, from the karmis to the gyanis to the yogis. But I believe it's Prachetas, they say, Yadpada Pankaja Palasta Vilasya Bhaktya Kamashraya Grahitam Utvartayanti Shanta Tavanarukta Matiyo Yatayo Piruda Sutoganastamarunam Vajavasudeva. They pray, again, very similar, yet pada pankaja. Pankaja means the mud. What grows in the mud is the lotus. So the lotus, although it's in the mud, it's not really part of the mud. It remains out of the mud. Although the mud is considered very dirty, but still, the mud, the lotus growing in the mud, is glorified as the most pure and clean. That is Krishna and his devotees' inconceivable attribute, that even remaining in the contaminated material world, they're not at all affected by it. Therefore, his feet are considered the pankaja, Even he comes to the material world, he's not at all affected by material existence. Yet pada, pankaja, palasa. So again, petals, palasa. His lotus feet are very soft, like lotus petals. And vilasa means enjoyment. Transcendental pastimes. Bhakti. By coming to the platform of bhakti, or love for Krishna, engaging loving service to Krishna, then everything becomes enjoyable. While without Krishna, everything becomes ultimately distasteful. Although everyone is trying to have vilasa in the material world, pastimes, and the main pastime is the so-called romance that everyone's singing about. But that romance, another great devotee, Yamunacharya, said, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde nava nava rasa daman yudhyam tam rantum asit yadavadi nari vata sangame smaryamane bhavati mukavikara shustu nishtivanam cha. That ever since I've actually become absorbed in remembering the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then I become so much absorbed in transcendental happiness that even when I think of my previous activities as a king and my enjoyment with so many women, at that time my lips curl in disgust. My lips or my face, Mukham actually apparently means the face, turns in disgust, and Nishtivanam cha, I want to spit at the thought of such activities. So generally no materialist is adverse to so-called romance. That is the life of this world. But a devotee, by experiencing a higher taste, the actual romance between Radha and Krishna and the spiritual world, which produces an ocean of transcendental happiness and pleasure for everyone, then everything else becomes distasteful. Just like the six Goswamis, it said, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natihi Kolo Lasani Krito Nindra Hara Vihara Kari Vidito Chatyantya Dino Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmridir Madhurima Nandena Samoito Pande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. So the six Goswamis chant at least 16 rounds a day and follow all the regular principles. And they offered obeisances to the Vaishnavas. And by doing so, they became absorbed, enchanted by the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And therefore, they were able to give up all other materialistic activities, even eating and sleeping. That is the secret that's mentioned. Vishaya Charya Kabe Shudahabe Mana Kabe Hama Bhujhavo Se Yugala Priti Rupa Raganatha Pade Haive Akuti Kavehama Bhujhavo Se Yugala Priti. That if we study the books of the Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, then by such studying we can, if we eagerly study them, then gradually we'll be able to understand what is actually spiritual life, and then we'll be able to understand what is the actual conjugal pastimes between Radha and Krishna, which have nothing to do with any kind of material activity. Therefore, by taking shelter of the instructions of the six Goswamis, following the footsteps, then we can actually begin to become purified enough to understand what is the actual position of transcendental relationships, and therefore transcendental pleasure. So the devotees, because they become absorbed in the transcendental pleasure of vilasa, of Krishna's lotus feet, therefore kamashraya, the taking shelter of materialistic activities, ashraya, kamashraya, Udgratayanti Granti.
Start over.
Yad padapankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kamashayam gratitam grantita grantita ugratayanti shanta. So the non-material existence caused by taking shelter in material activities and conceptions, by thinking that there is some other happiness better than taking shelter with Krishna, that becomes udgratayanti. It becomes cut to pieces. It becomes slashed or dissolved or eliminated by Shanta, the devotees. So the devotees became very happy and peaceful because they give up all That when Nrisimhadev asked him to take some benediction, he flatly refused. He said, because he knew any benediction in this material world simply is an entanglement. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he worked very hard, harder than any of us can imagine. For 6 months, 1 month, he only ate fruit every third day. And then for the next month, every 6 day, he only ate dry leaves and grass. And then the third month, he only ate leaves that fell from the tree. Then he only drank water for the next month, every 12th day. Then he only took a breath of air in the next month. And then he gave up breathing. Imagine if on a codicy it was so strict that you had to give up breathing for 1 day. He did that for 1 month. 2 months actually. First month he gave up breathing. Then he gave up breathing and stood on one leg. And just concentrated his mind upon Krishna. And then finally, after all that endeavor, Prishnigarbha, Lord Vishnu, appeared before him and offered him any benediction he wanted besides giving him a kingdom greater than that of his great-grandfather. And Dhruva Maharaj said, Svanam kritarto na prache. That I don't want any benediction. Because now I'm satisfied just by seeing you. So imagine how wonderful it is to see Krishna. If after going through such an endeavor, he didn't even want any benediction at all. He even forgot about what he wanted in the first place. Therefore, the devotees become very peaceful when they actually become Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaj didn't want a benediction. He said, simply by chanting the glories, I've learned how to merge my consciousness into a whole ocean of bliss. My only lamentation is to see others who are rotting material existence, working hard just for temporary material happiness, with no thought of you. Therefore, I want to work and try and bring them to your lotus feet. Shanta, Yavan, Nirikta, Matayo. Nirikta Matayo means those who are devoid of devotional service, the Gyanis and the Yogis, working very hard. Yavan, Nirikta, Matayo, Yatayo, practically endeavoring very hard for their perfections, Yataya. And what do they achieve? Shuto Ganas Tam Arunam Bhajavasudeva. They become overwhelmed by the waves of material desire, Shuto Ganas. Just overwhelming. Ripta Matayo Yatayo Piruda. They just become overwhelmed. Vishwamrita, he worked very hard for 180,000 years. Practically 60,000 years, he was sitting there meditating, trying to just get second initiation. And after so much endeavor, little tinkling, hearing the tinkling of an ankle bell, and he not only lost his chance to get second initiation, but he fell down for 100 years. Then after another 60,000 years of meditating, again he fell down. Hearing another ankle bell, so he becomes so angry that he fell down again. And he had to wait 180,000 years before he obtained second initiation. And all he got was Brahman initiation. That's all. So how difficult it is. Because a little thought within the mind will immediately drive one to gratify one's desires. Even great saintly persons, such as Vishwamrita Muni, what to speak of ordinary persons who try to take to such a path. Big horses are trying to cross a river, and they're being swept away by the current. And one scrawny, emaciated horse comes along and says, "Now I'll do it." And I would say, well, all these people, heavy horses, they couldn't do it. How are you going to do it? So all these great personalities, they try to meditate, cross over the ocean, material miseries, by their own personal endeavor, and they just got washed away by the course of material time. So what to speak of less advanced personalities trying yoga or jnana to cross over the ocean of material existence? Certainly, Maya will capture them, and also they'll be forgotten. Even a great personality, such as Markandeya Rishi, he only had one little thought when Krishna personally came to his ashram. He was in ecstasy, and then he said, "My Lord, I only have one little desire. Can you show me what your Maya is?" And just one little desire like that, and he was cast into the ocean of devastation for 4,300,000 years, times 1,000. Being bitten, being devoured by Timangal fish, and freezing cold in the ocean of devastation, and everyone's biting him, and exhausted, and suffering like anything, just by one little thought, "My dear Lord, what is your mind?" I'm sure all of us have had a few more thoughts than that. Therefore, even great personalities like Markandeya Rishi, Vishwamrita, Daksha, he went prayed to the Lord, and his prayers were so powerful, his austerity was so powerful, that Lord Vishnu, riding on the back of Garuda, came personally to see him. Surrounded by all the demigods, he fell on the ground due to ecstasy. He couldn't even stand up. And the Lord said, "Yes, I've come. What do you want?" He said, "I want sex life." And then he got entangled in material existence again and ultimately wound up with the head of a goat. So certain persons, we should follow in their footsteps. And others, more cautiously, we should try to understand how wonderful it is that to take shelter of Krishna gives such great benefit, and trying any other path other than that produces so many problems. So the demigods, it says, they're well versed because they've been watching these things. They live for such a long time, they can see everything from the heavenly planets, and they see what's going on. So they've come to this conclusion after many thousands of years of watching the same thing again and again. Therefore, Shutoganas Tam Arunam Bhajavasudeva. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva. Evam Kasam Karma Kasam Priyunte Avididatman Yupadiyamane Napriti Yavan Mai Vasudeva Namuchate Yoga Dehena Yadva. Just as long as one doesn't take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then one will be forced by one's previous activities to act in so many materialistic ways. That as long as one doesn't develop love for Vasudeva, then one will have to take one body after another. Therefore, our whole philosophy, our whole society, is simply meant to help us develop love for Krishna. And by doing so, then all our problems will be solved. Especially problems of yogena, deha yogena, yajvat, tadvat, taking one birth after another. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
But like you explained, that well, the solution for all problems is to try to love Krishna and to hear about him. And then many times devotees come up to you and they say, oh, people have so many problems, my mind is and that. And say, yeah, well, you know, just try to perform devotional service, because when we're in the material world, we have to suffer. So the only way to get loose from that is to perform devotional service. That should be the main. Yes, but I cannot do that because I need so many other things first to be. Of course, I know I also say that myself regularly. But then.
Never says regulation. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda who come, they have given us a process. Bhaja bhaja bhai chaitanya nitai surida vishvasikori. So we should take shelter of the lotus feet. Vishaya sharia se rase majiya muke bolo hari hari. So one doesn't have to give up completely sense gratification. But at the same time one should regulate it so that one can chant Hari Hari, one can chant Hare Krishna. But one shouldn't live just for sense gratification. One should also gratify the senses as much as necessary, but at the same time chant Hare Krishna. So someone needs something, they need some prasadam, so take some prasadam. You have to sleep, so take a nap, or probably used to say a snap. You want a wife, probably said take a wife, be a gentleman. So, but at the same time, chant Hare Krishna. So what's the problem?
Well, my mind's still disturbed. I'm chanting, but it doesn't work.
Well, that's the problem. Because we don't really chant Hare Krishna. Anuraga. So then read the Shikshastika prayer. Come to the program early enough that you can hear the Shikshastika prayers. And then you'll find out, anuragaha, why I don't have any attraction to the holy name. So we have to also take to the process, trinada pisani chena, troya visahishnana, amanina maradinena, kirtini exadahari. We have to take to the process given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, it won't work. One time one man was telling Prabhupada, my mind, Prabhupada said, well, chant Hare Krishna. And the man said, but my mind. So Prabhupada said, that's all I have. That's all I can give you. You know, I don't have anything else. So if the chanting is not sufficient, if one doesn't want to learn how to chant Hare Krishna, so one puts one's attention on Krishna rather than on the mind, and what can be done? Someone runs up to a tree, grabs hold of the tree, let me go, let me go. But the tree doesn't have the person. The person has the tree. You won't let go of the tree. So what can be done? So if we remain attached to our material conceptions, we refuse adamantly and stubbornly to give them up. And someone comes along and says, well, just let go. No, I won't. I can't let go. But the tree's not holding you. You're holding the tree. No, I can't let go. Just like the monkey. Capture a monkey. The way they do it is in a bottle they put a banana. But the bottle, the mouth of the bottle is such that it only, if the monkey puts his hand into the bottle to get the banana and makes a fist, he can't get his hand out of the bottle. And the bottle, of course, is attached to something. So the monkey puts his hand into the bottle to get the banana, makes the fist and pull it out to grab it. Grabs and tries to pull it out, and now his hand can't get out of the bottle. But he won't let go of the banana. He's become so attached to it. He won't let it go. All he does is to let the banana go, and he can easily free himself. But no, he'd rather die than let go of the banana. So material existence is like that. We've grabbed hold of the thoughts of the mind, we won't let them go. And everyone's preaching, let it go. I can't let it go. Don't let it go. It's just, no, I can't do it. So what can be done? All that will happen is if you kept on, let it go, then they'll accuse you. You're disturbing my mind, Prabhu. It was disturbed already. And now you're disturbing it worse by saying, let it go. You're the cause of my problems. You and my mother. So the cause of our real problems is that we should let the banana go. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam, Kija, Srila Prabhupada, Kija, Guru Pranandi.